Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Tech Doctor episode. I'm Robert, the Tech Doctor.
And I'm Allison Hartley.
And we are thrilled to be coming to you the day after the WWDC keynote address, which was held yesterday as we record this. And hopefully you're still doing well after all that keynoting, Allison.
I still have the WWDC post-rush now.
All right. Still got the WWDC excitement.
Yep.
And I happen to know from talking to you yesterday that you also got a very nice WWDC gift.
I did. My husband got me an iPod Touch solely for the purpose of testing what is now going to be the iOS 7 beta. So that's very exciting and very sweet of him.
Fabulous. That is a fabulous thing. I'm kind of looking for a husband like that. Oh, well. I felt like that this was the first post-Steve Jobs keynote where it clearly was Tim Cook in charge. It's now his company. I thought there was lots of energy and people really did a great job of doing their part to present the various things that were offered yesterday. And I was very pleased with the energy of it, with the tone of it. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I was pleased with it too. I thought it was really high energy. And I really think, like you said, this was the first keynote where Tim Cook really branded it with his particular style and made it his own. So I think that's awesome. And I was so pumped through the entire thing. I was bouncing my knee along to all the little songs they were playing, and I was having a good old time.
Yeah, me too. And I think it really should settle a lot of people's nerves who have been worried, you know, is all the rumors in the media, is Apple losing their edge and this and that, and are they innovating and all. And clearly, they've been extremely busy working on things that they've been quiet about for the last six to 8 months or however long it's been. And so I really felt very reassured by the keynote yesterday.
Me too.
Now, they started out the keynote in a little bit of an unusual way. They started out by playing a video. And unfortunately, for those of us who are blind, the video was only music in terms of the audio. But there were words that were flashing on the screen while the video was playing. And I was fortunate. I was watching it with my son. And he read to me what was on the screen. And I'd like to start out by reading the text of that video, just because it really kind of sets the tone for what was done yesterday in the keynote presentation. And it also reminds me of really what Apple is all about in some ways, of how they see their mission. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and read this, and then we'll start talking about specifically more what happened yesterday.
Please do.
If everyone is busy making everything, how can anyone perfect anything? We start to confuse convenience with joy, abundance with choice. Designing something requires focus. The first thing we ask is, what do we want people to feel? Delight, surprise, love, connection. Then we begin to craft around our intentions. It takes time. There are 1,000 no's for every yes. We simplify, we perfect, we start over until everything we touch enhances each life it touches. Only then do we sign our work, designed by Apple in California. And I think that one of the things that really sets Apple apart from its competitors, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, whoever you want to plug in there, is that Apple has really made its mark, made its living, made its money by serving its customers with products that they genuinely feel are the best that they can design, the best that they can build. And they love seeing people happy with their devices. And I don't think it's a trick or a game. I think it's real from Apple. And of course, they're a business. And it's no accident that these products make them lots and lots of money. And of course, that's why they do it. But there's a real aesthetic component to Apple that's been there from the beginning. And I think the text of this video just kind of highlights that. And I really like that aspect of Apple. It's very refreshing to me in some way.
I really agree, because one of the things that keeps me coming back to Apple products again and again, and really now has me pretty much exclusively using Apple products at home, is the fact that it is such a fluid user experience for the most part, especially on iOS devices. It's just amazing. So I think that the text really encapsulated for me, specifically as a blind user of an iOS device, it really kind of hit home for me.
Well, once we got through the video, Tim Cook came out on stage and he quoted some facts about various aspects of the Apple business. And that's pretty typical for the way keynotes start. He didn't do that for a long time, which I think we were all happy about. But
yeah,
I just want to mention a couple things that he said. He let us know that there are 6 million developers of apps and 1.5 million are new developers since last year.
Wow.
So this is a huge growing industry right now, which is pretty exciting. It's interesting that so many developers wanted to come to this meeting, this Worldwide Developers Conference, that all the tickets for it sold out in 71 seconds.
Yep.
And 64% of the developers are at this conference for the first time. And then he talked a little bit about some of the updates to the Apple retail stores. Just out of interest, there are now 407 stores worldwide, and they're in 14 different countries. And then he turned his attention to the App Store, where there are 900,000 apps, with 93% of those apps getting downloaded every month. So people are really...
Oh, goodness.
People are really downloading apps.
Yeah.
And just to show you what kind of industry we're talking about here, Apple has paid $10 billion to developers, and $5 billion of that was paid within the last year.
Ooh.
So we're really talking an amazing thing that's happened to this five-year-old app store and this whole industry that's grown up around it. And finally, he said that this is three times what all the other platforms combined have paid developers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing thing what's going on in the app development community.
And I
understand that, you know, there are an awful lot of people who don't get rich from their apps. And part of the problem with that is because you'd have to sell a lot of them if you sell your app for a dollar.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it is quite an industry, and it's providing jobs at a time where, you know, the jobs are pretty hard to come by for a lot of people.
That's true.
So it's just kind of exciting to think about all that.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, next they turned their attention to the new release of Mac OS X, or I think they just call it OS X now. This will be 10.9, and they joked that they were going to call it Sea Lion. And it's funny, today I've heard a number of podcasters raving about how they wish that Sea Lion really was going to be the name of OS 10.9. They were disappointed when when they found out that Apple is actually calling it Mavericks. And Mavericks, it turns out, is a place in California where people go to surf. So they're going to start naming the next foreseeable releases, apparently, after places in California. And I don't know whether you're familiar with Mavericks, knowing that you live there or not, but that certainly was a surprise that they shifted away from the Cats.
Yeah, I've never been to Mavericks because I can't swim very well, let alone surf.
Yeah.
But as a transplanted Californian who has really kind of taken this crazy place to my heart, I love the fact that they're going to start naming releases after places in California. That's so cool.
Well, it is cool, and I was really curious, sort of being a student of Apple, what they would do when they decided to leave the Cats.
Yeah, there are only so many Cats, as they said.
there are only so many, that's right. They maybe could have stayed with one or two more, but I'm really okay with the name Mavericks. I think it'll grow on me, you know, sort of like iPad grew on me, honestly.
Yep.
Well, let's start by talking about some of the features that they showed us that are going to be in Mavericks. And I want to just go ahead and mention what I'm thinking right now is likely to be one of my very favorite ones. I'm very happy that they're going to be bringing iBooks to the Mac.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
So we're going to be able to have access to those 1.8 million books that are in the iBook store on the Mac. And it's really great because we'll also have access to the books that are iPad only right now, books that are created by iBooks author. And so they're going to be readable on the Mac. And they're currently VoiceOver accessible on the iPad, so I'm assuming that it's very likely that they will be accessible on the Mac as well.
Yeah, for those of us who don't own an iPad currently, that's really good news.
Yeah, I think it's something that honestly should have been there a long time ago, because I think, you know, while a lot of us like the portability of being able to take our books everywhere, there are times when I'll sit down and read something on my MacBook, I'm sure. I mean, with the Mac, you know, the MacBooks are so small and light anyway. They're almost like a portable device within themselves, really.
Exactly, yeah.
The next thing that is coming to Mavericks is they're going to bring maps. And I think this is going to be quite an interesting idea, because you're going to be able to create a map on your computer, or create a route, I should say, using the map on your Mac. And then you're going to be able to press a button and have that route sent to your iOS device.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, and so that should allow people to create routes in some ways more easily, you know, even before you leave home or whatever, and easily have that information when you walk out the door, probably including information about things that are around you, like restaurants or parks or whatever it is that you're interested in while you're going to be out and about.
Yeah, I'd imagine they'd include that as well. It's so cool. It would be great, though, if they would also incorporate, and I realize that this wouldn't be very high on the priority list, especially for sighted users, but some virtual exploration mode would be kind of neat, too.
It would be. It would remind me of what Sendero has done with Sendero Maps.
Yeah, or they could bring their Maps program to the Mac, which would be fine with me, too.
Yeah. Right, exactly. We're offering several options here.
Yes.
It doesn't appear that the look of OS X Mavericks has changed dramatically, but they did get rid of a lot of the skeuomorphism, which, as everyone knows, is sort of the idea of making the calendar, for example, look like a paper calendar with borders or leather binding or things like that. That stuff is gone, and so the calendar now has a new look, which I think people who use the screen are likely to appreciate the new visual appearance. There have been a number of improvements to Safari. Supposedly, it's going to be a lot faster and a lot easier to move from one site to another, or to move from one article to another. And So I think we're going to see some improvement in the way that Safari is operating, and it's nice to see that it continues to grow and advance the way it is, because they've been improving it a little bit all along, even during the year of Mountain Lion. But I think we're going to see a bit of a bump there. And we're also going to see something interesting, which at first I was not terribly excited about, but it's an iCloud feature, which they're calling iCloud Keychain. And what this does essentially is let you store usernames and passwords and even credit card information if you want to do that, and then have that information automatically filled in when you go to a particular website or when you purchase something. You can click on something and the information will get filled in for you, much like is done now with third-party apps like LastPass, or the one that I use is called 1Password. And I think why I'm excited about this now is I'm doubtful that I will switch from 1Password because it has other features that I really like. But I think for my family members, for example, who no matter how much I have kicked and screamed and moaned and groaned and gnashed my teeth, haven't really gone to the trouble of learning to use 1Password. It's just not, it just hasn't been something they've gotten excited about. But I think if it's something that's built into the operating system where Safari is just going to come up and say, would you like me to save this information for you? And all they have to do is say yes. And then it's automatically integrated into their browsing. I think they're much more likely to use something like that.
I know for me as an online shopaholic, I'm really excited about iCloud Keychain. I can't lie.
Okay. I'm assuming that iCloud Keychain will also do things like generate really secure random passwords for you. I'm sure that it'll do things like that.
I believe I did hear or read that somewhere. Yeah.
There's one feature that doesn't really pertain to people who are blind, but I'm glad to see it come to Mavericks because a lot of people have requested this, and that's the ability to fully use multiple displays with a Mac, including the Apple TV. Mm-hmm. And so what this means now is that you can have different items displayed on multiple displays around you, and their menu bars and everything are displayed properly, which was not the case before. Multiple displays worked to some extent, but didn't work in a real pure way the way that they're going to in the new release of the operating system. And for people who use multiple displays, it's going to make them really happy, and especially now that you can use the Apple TV as one of your displays.
Yeah, I could see that being really handy for low vision users as well, depending on how they had them configured. Yeah.
Oh, I think it would, because it would give them so much additional screen real estate.
Yeah.
And they could make things very large if they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been some improvements to the notification center. We saw it introduced in, I don't remember now, either Lion or Mountain Lion, but it's been improved in the sense that now you're going to be able to get notifications on your Mac, if you choose to, from whichever apps you want that are running on your iOS device, which means also that when you delete them one place, they're deleted everywhere.
Thank God.
And a lot of these things aren't earth-shaking, but they're clearly progress, moving forward, a maturing of the operating system, if you will. They've made a few changes to the Mac Finder, which is essentially the heart of the filing system on the Mac, sort of like Windows Explorer in a way, if you're a Windows user. But the Finder is now going to be like a Safari and have tabs so that you can have a window with multiple tabs displaying different parts of the file system. And they've also designed a tagging system, which is going to let you tag your the items on your Mac so that you can easily retrieve all of the tagged items into one sidebar location. And apparently, for those who either like tagging or for those of us who decide to embrace it, it's a great way to pull lots of things together in one search. So you can do one search for an important tag, and if you choose to, you can have it pull everything pertaining to that tag from your email, from websites that you browsed, from other files inside the Finder that contain the related information. So we'll see how it all works, but it is an intriguing idea, and I'm glad to see them add it.
Me too, because sometimes Spotlight search frustrates me the way it is now, so I'm really excited that I can tag things and have a little bit more finite control over my searches. Sometimes I think it's just my lack of ability with Spotlight search because I'm still learning the Mac, but this will certainly help.
Yeah, it will help. And finally, they're doing a lot under the hood in OS X Mavericks. They are going to do some things differently with memory management to help a lot with battery life on the laptops, for example. They're going to compress unused memory and make it available to apps when they need it in a more efficient manner. And they're going to use something called AppNap, which is going to allow apps to really go to sleep when you're not focused on them, and then when you bring the focus back, because of the compressed memory capabilities and so forth, the app is going to be able to immediately wake up.
That's so cool.
And they did some demos of that, and of course, the proof's going to be in the pudding. We'll see how well it works, but it sounds like it has real potential for speeding up the operating system and making it work more efficiently.
Yeah.
The new Mavericks release is going to be available in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about pricing yet. Apple normally doesn't charge very much for their releases of their operating system. I think Mountain Lion was what, maybe $29 or
something like that. It was really reasonable. Yeah.
19 or 29, I can't remember.
Something like that.
Well, they did announce a little bit of new hardware. The WWDC meeting is almost always mostly about software because it's done for the developers. But they announced a little bit of hardware. First, a refresh to the 11 and 13 inch MacBook Air. And these are pretty nice refreshes, actually. They have gone to a much more power saving new chip from Intel called the Haswell chip, which is going to give 9 hours of battery life on the 11 inch MacBook Air and up to 12 hours of battery life on the 13 inch.
Yeah, it completely blew my mind when I heard that, because all I could think was, whoa, I turned the screen brightness down all the way, so I could get like 12 hours on the 11-inch and probably 14 or 15 on the 13-inch.
And that's a more than a day's work. I mean, that's a lot of battery power from a laptop. They have kept the price of the base model the same. What is that, $995, I believe?
Well, the 11-inch MacBook Air still starts at $995, but they have dropped the introductory price of the 13-inch to $1095, I believe, now.
Right, they dropped it by $100, and they did double the amount of flash that's in the base 11-inch MacBook Air model from 64 to 128.
28, yeah.
So that's going to be a nice computer for anyone who wants a new MacBook Air. And they're so light and they're so small that they're very easy to carry around. And the exciting thing is they are available now.
Yeah.
You can go online to the Apple store and order one at this moment. we'd like you to finish listening to the podcast, but if you just can't, yeah. if you just can't wait, put us on pause and order.
Hang on, let me pause for a minute.
In addition to what we just said about the MacBook Air, Apple updated its routers, the AirPort Extreme and the Time Capsule have been updated to support the new Wi-Fi standard 802.11ac, which promises better connectivity, more range, and a better signal strength. And so it's nice to see the routers get a refresh at this time, and they are also available now.
I have to admit, I had mixed feelings about this one. I was like, oh, this is great, but I bought my AirPort Base Station Extreme like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, that's so frustrating. Yeah, I bought a new Time Capsule just a couple months ago. So,
Oh well,
we got what we got.
Yep, when it comes time for me to get a new MacBook Air, then I'll get a new AirPort Base Station Extreme.
Exactly. And the final hardware that was a surprise to some and was really hoped for by others was they have completely redesigned and built a new Mac Pro, not to be confused with the MacBook Pro. The Mac Pro is Apple's desktop. It was a tower type computer. It's now a cylinder shaped computer, and it's only about 1/8 the size of the original MacBook Pro.
It's crazy.
It has lots and lots of power. It's going to come with a very large amount of SD storage, and you can add much more storage through 6 Thunderbolt version 2 ports, which what they've done actually is they have really made it so that the machine can be added to from the outside of the machine rather than opening the machine up and adding cards and putting boards in slots inside the machine. It's all going to be done through plugging things into Thunderbolt ports on the outside. And I suspect people will have mixed feelings about that in the beginning, but it's certainly the way that Apple has gone with their computers in recent years, with the flash storage, the SD storage, and plugging things in from the outside. And these computers, the Mac Pro, are really designed for people like movie studios, animation studios, people who do high-level development with lots of graphics and design work and things like that. They're very top-end machines. So for those who need one, they're going to be available later on sometimes this year. We don't know exactly when yet, and we don't know a price yet. They're normally very expensive.
I think they started about, what, $2,500? That's low end.
Right, yeah. That's been pretty typical. Start around $2,500. And they're going to be built in the U.S.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll see how things go with the Mac Pro. There is going to be a significant update to Apple's iWorks suite, and iWorks is the answer to the Microsoft Office suite. It's a word processor called Pages, a presentation manager called Keynote, and a spreadsheet program called Numbers. And that suite is going to be updated to work from a browser in the cloud, much like Microsoft has started to offer, and Google and others have started offering cloud-based systems like this. This one's going to work on Mac and on Windows with Internet Explorer and Chrome, as well as, of course, and they say best of all, on Safari on the Mac. But it's nice to see this across platform.
Yeah.
And I think developers can start working with it now, but it too is going to be released sometime later this year. So they moved on to talk about the thing that probably most people would be the most interested and excited about, which is iOS version 7.
Yes.
which of course is the operating system for the iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. It's very interesting that iOS 7, I think, is functionally going to operate, with some exceptions, but for the most part, quite similar to the way iOS 6 does, especially for voiceover users. I don't imagine that it's going to be like learning a new phone, because they're saying even for sighted users that it looks very different. But it's also recognizable as iOS. And so it's sort of like almost like getting a new phone, getting a new operating system without having to relearn everything.
Right, right.
So it's, you get the benefit without the pain in a lot of ways. And I think that they purposefully have designed it that way.
I think so too. And I think that's a really good move on Apple's part.
And it does look very different. It's much flatter in design, and the icons are much, much different looking, everyone says. They, of course, borrowed some ideas from the Windows Metro interface and borrowed some ideas from Android, but they also did, it seems like, a very nice job of taking it and making it very iOS-like. So it's not like it's just a copy of what something else has done. There's some influence from what others have done, but that's how it always works. I mean, these companies always leapfrog over one another and borrow bits and pieces from each other. I mean, that happens. I don't care what you say, that happens all the time. So that's kind of what people are saying about it, and some people are loving it. Some people are sort of taking the attitude of, well, it looks pretty good for the first attempt, but we think that these icons will be improved or modified as time goes on. But almost everyone seems to be happy to see iOS on the move, to see it changing, to see it not stay stagnant, but moving forward in a sense.
Right.
Because I think people are kind of feeling like, since iOS was the oldest mobile operating system compared to Android and compared to Microsoft, you know, that it was time to, for it to get a facelift, if you will, for it to
definitely
move forward. So let's talk about some of the changes that are coming, that are maybe a bit more applicable, a bit more concrete than just the visual appeal of it. Notification Center is now going to be available from the lock screen, which I think is a good move.
Yes, again, I say thank God.
And you will be able to easily clear notifications and check notifications in various ways. Again, this clearing will apply across devices, just as it did on the Mac. But they're going to let you have a couple different views. Like, you're going to be able to see your recent notifications, or you're going to be able to view by notifications that just pertain to that particular day, or that there are going to be, I think, maybe one other view. And so they've let this grow and let notifications mature a little bit, which I think people are going to be quite happy with.
I'm excited.
Yeah, one cool thing with the weather notification that's changed is you're now going to see, in addition to the weather in whatever city you flick to, you're going to also be able to see the time in that city. So, you know, just some little additions that...
That's helpful, yeah.
Yeah, that can be helpful, that make it kind of nice. They have implemented a new feature called the Control Center. And I think, if I remember correctly, it also is going to work from the lock screen, as well as work from anywhere in the iOS. And the Control Center is just a place where you flick up from the bottom on the phone, and a little panel blocks up that lets you do various things like toggle airplane mode on and off, toggle Bluetooth or Wi-Fi on and off, lets you do a couple things with the camera, lets you do gives you some controls for controlling your music. So you're going to be able to just quickly get at these commonly used toggles without having to go into settings and search for them and things like that.
Right, and that will also be available from the lock screen.
Yes, and so I think that's going to be really quite handy for people who, most of us after a while did find it kind of frustrating that that Bluetooth was buried way down in settings somewhere. Yeah. So that's a nice improvement.
Yeah.
They've done a lot with memory management in iOS 7, it looks like. For example, apps can update in the background. And you can have it set so that your apps will automatically update without you having to do anything. You can also have it set so that you'll be prompted when there are updates, much like you are now. And I have kind of mixed feelings about that. Sometimes apps update and break accessibility.
Yeah.
And so whether I want my apps to update automatically, I'm not quite sure, but it's so tempting that I will probably let it do it and decide to live with the consequences. Because it's just nice to have that happen in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And we can report with great joy that this feature apparently has made Senator John McCain very happy. He tweeted thanking Apple for doing this because apparently he does not like having to update his iPhone. So we can be happy about that, I guess. They are allowing apps to do a lot more multitasking than they did in iOS 6. And so apps are going to be able to do a lot more in the background. And of course, the worry that everyone has about this, even though we want it, is what's it going to do to battery life? And because this has been a real problem on Android, where an app will start doing something in the background and you might forget about it. You might have not even started it that day, maybe 2 or 3 days before, and you're suddenly losing your battery life and you don't know why. And it's because of something an app's doing in the background. But what they're going to do to try to manage this battery issue in iOS 7 is they've written a lot of intelligence into the operating system. So, for example, the operating system pays attention. And if you tend to do certain things at certain times of the day, like, for example, if you get up in the morning and typically check your New York Times app, for example, well, iOS 7 will realize that this is something that happens at about this time every day. So I'm going to go ahead and get this app updated at the first opportunity so that it'll be ready. And I think that's going to be a real time saver for people because you're not going to have to wait on your apps to do their updating after you open them. But they're also not going to be doing a whole bunch of unnecessary stuff that doesn't really fit with your lifestyle or fit with your schedule.
Yeah.
And there are also some other controls built into the system for how to manage this memory and how not to let apps run away with battery, doing things that are going to drain your battery. And of course, we'll have to see how all this works, but it's definitely a step in the direction of giving people a way to do more real multitasking. And they have changed the app switcher to a multitasking pane where you're going to be able to control these apps more easily and close several apps at once and do some things more easily than you can do in the app switcher in iOS 6. Oh, let's see. They've made a number of changes to the camera. They've made a number of changes to Safari. You can now have unlimited tabs, and they've added an address field to Safari, much like what we have on the Mac, where it serves as both like a search field for Google or Bing or something like that, but it also lets you type in a URL if you want to go to a website. So they've combined.
I'm really glad to see that.
Yeah, so that's combined into one field. They've made some significant changes to Siri. Siri now has new voices, male and female voices, and these voices really sound quite good from what we heard from the demo. They're quite clear and easy to understand. It's going to come. Siri's going to come out with these voices for English, French, and German, with other languages to follow. And they've also opened up what Siri can do quite a bit. You can now have Siri do searches for you, for example, to search for, I don't know, pizza places around you or whatever. And instead of having to go out and bring up a web page with this information, the information just comes right up inside Siri. And it comes up really fast, and you can just tap on the pizza place that you're interested in. And it applies to a lot more different kinds of questions that you can ask. It's much broader now. And you can also use Siri to do more things like read your iMessages to you and turn Bluetooth on and off with Siri and things like that. So Siri's been expanded quite a bit in iOS 7.
I'm looking forward to that. And I am hoping, although I'm not optimistic just yet because I don't know how it's all going to pan out, it would be wonderful if we could somehow use the nice high-quality voices of Siri for voiceover.
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic that that's going to be the case.
I hope so, but I've just been disappointed for so long in the voices that I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah, right, and we don't know the answer to that yet. That was not discussed yesterday.
No, nothing regarding accessibility was, but that's not really, that's not uncommon. Yeah.
So they are adding a feature that has been available on the Macs that have come out since 2011, or at least at some time during 2011, this feature became available on the Mac, and it's called AirDrop. And AirDrop allows you to share information with other when it was just on the Mac with other Macs. But in iOS 7, it's going to allow you to share information with other iOS devices that are in the room with you. So if you want to share your contact information with multiple people in a room, you can easily do that using AirDrop, or you can share a photo that way, or various bits of information of the kind that you would want to share with other people. AirDrop is going to make a very easy way to do that, and it's done either over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So I'm glad to see that come to iOS. I think it kind of answers, a lot of people got excited about Android's bump feature, where you could bump your phone with someone else and exchange information. And I think this is honestly a bit of an answer to that. But in my mind, I prefer it over having to bump my phone with someone.
This AirDrop sounds a lot more graceful.
Yeah, a lot more graceful. Plus, you can share the information with multiple people at one time.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be nice. They did announce, and this had been rumored about quite a bit, a new music service called iTunes Radio. And to me, this service is a very much Pandora-like service. Sounds like it's going to be really similar to what you do with Pandora. But it's going to be built into the music player on the iOS devices, and on the Mac and iTunes, and also available, if I'm not mistaken, on the Apple TV.
Yes, it will be. I'm really hoping that this is going to give Pandora a run for its money, because as a paying subscriber to Pandora, I'm not really that happy with the song choices. I feel like they do way too many repeats. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
I have noticed that too, that there are a lot of repeats. And I would think, honestly, that Apple is in a better position in some ways to not have that problem because of their access to the iTunes store.
vast access to a lot of music.
Yeah, and the largest collection in the world.
Yeah, and I'm also excited that iTunes Match subscribers will get all of that ad free, because as an iTunes Match subscriber, it just gives me that much more of a reason to renew. If Music in the Cloud wasn't enough, you know.
Yeah, that is nice.
And, yeah.
and I'm not an iTunes Match subscriber.
Oh, you need to subscribe. It's so cool.
I might think about it, but I tend to really like to manage my music myself and have a lot of stuff that I don't think would match in iTunes Match. But maybe we can talk about iTunes Match sometime, and maybe you can talk me into it.
I'd love to.
They have made some changes to the App Store, and I'll just mention one that kind of intrigued me. You're going to be able somehow to find apps that are relevant to your current location. So, for example, if you should go to Disney World or Disneyland, you're going to be able to ask your device to grab you all the apps that are related to Disney.
That's pretty cool.
And are related to whatever interesting thing.
San Francisco, anywhere you happen to be.
Yeah, anywhere you happen to be is going to give you a way to pull together the information that's available in the App Store in various apps about that place. And so that's going to be interesting to try that out and see how well that works.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the end of the features here. I do want to mention one that I think is sort of a good answer to people wondering whether or not Apple has been listening to what people want. And this addresses a problem that has become a huge issue, especially in larger cities, and that's the issue of iOS devices getting stolen. And I have a friend whose daughter just got her iPhone stolen when she fell asleep in the LA airport.
Oh my goodness.
And her phone was actually lying on her chest and someone walked by and stole it.
Oh.
You know, unbelievable that would happen. But what they're doing in iOS 7 to try to address this issue to some extent is they have a new activate lock feature, which when you go into the Find My iPhone app on another device and you activate this feature, no one will be able to actually access anything on that stolen phone without knowing your Apple ID and password. So the phone will essentially be no good to them. And even
right.
if they even if they try to restore it somehow or if mm-hmm. they, no matter what they do to it, it's not going to allow any access unless they can provide that Apple ID and password. So
yeah.
I hope that will make the devices less interesting to thieves. But I guess we'll see. But at least I'm glad to see Apple listening to this and paying attention to it.
Yeah, me too.
And finally, apparently Siri and associated technology is going to be making it into lots of cars in 2014. Lots of cars are going to come equipped with displays that will show your iOS display, and with lots of eyes-free technology that interacts through Siri to let you control various things with your GPS system and your music and all the things that you might want to do with your iOS device in the car.
We're especially really big on hands-free driving here in California, so that's really exciting.
Does that mean you don't want to use your hands on the wheel or...
Oh, I just realized how that came out.
I'm going to drive with my
knees. Talking while driving.
I'm going to drive with my knees now.
You know what, guys? We're not even going to edit this part out because it's that funny.
Okay. Hands-free driving. Yes. Okay. I couldn't resist. It was too good. iOS 7 is going to be available sometime in the fall. We don't know exactly when. It's going to run on most of the devices, not on the iPhone 3GS. That's not going to be supported anymore.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not going to run on the iPad 1.
It will run on the iPhone 4, 4S, and 5. Now, if you have an iPod Touch, it's only going to run on the 5th generation iPod Touch.
Right, and it's going to run on the iPad 2, 3, 4, and iPad Mini. So those are the devices, and I personally am really excited about this release, and I'm not at all disappointed in what's being offered here. I think Apple hit a home run here.
They exceeded my expectations in so many ways. I was not expecting a lackluster keynote, not by a long shot, but I was not expecting as much as they gave us.
It was a two-hour keynote jam-packed with new information and things to be excited about.
Yeah, which I streamed over my 4G LTE and used almost half of my data cap, but hey, it was worth it.
Well, that in itself is quite an accomplishment, that you could even stream something like that over LTE. I mean, look how far we've come.
Verizon Wireless, it's the network.
There you go. Sounds great. Well, we just wanted to go ahead and get this done and share this information with you all. If you have comments or thoughts that you would like to share with us, please drop us an email. And I often forget to remind everyone that that email address is techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor spelled out at drcarter.com.
So yeah, please do email us, folks. I forget to sometimes, but please, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we would. And we'd like to know what you think about all this. And for now, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with something else very soon. And I'm sure be talking about all these developments as the summer draws to an end and it becomes closer to time to release. But for now, this is Robert the Tech Doctor. I'll say so long.
Bye from Allison.